Many of you know that I love the game of basketball. Used to try to play it, still try to play it on occasion, just can't play full court very well. But as I've watched it, as I have played it and even coached a little bit, I've learned the importance of a well-timed timeout. Sometimes it's when your team is not functioning as it should, it can't move the ball well, and the offense just can't seem to score. It's a good time for a timeout. Or maybe when your opponent is on a run, they scored several baskets in a row, and you call a timeout so as to break their momentum and to hopefully get your team to gain some composure and have a plan to come back. But as I think about timeouts, I also recognize how important they are for our families. And for many of the same reasons. Our families may not be operating as they should. There may be bickering. There may be fighting. And it's time to call a timeout so that the family can regroup and realize how special that relationship is. Or it may be that the enemy of the family, Satan himself, is wreaking havoc on us. He's on a run, if you will. There's strife, there may be neglect most often, and many times it's busyness. And Satan wreaks his havoc through his many weapons and his powerful arsenal, and it's time for us to say time out and to regroup and to regain our families. In surveys, children sometimes are asked, "What do you think makes a happy family?" They astonish us with their wisdom. The most common answer is not money, cars, television, or even video games. More often, children will answer, it's doing things together. It's taking that time out to do things together. I like what Burkine and Faulkner have written. The highest priority for Christian families is the time they spend together. The only thing more important is the believer's own spiritual commitments. This morning, I want us to encourage all of us, no matter what size our family. If you don't have a family, then think about relationships with people that seem like family and recognize their value. And I want to encourage all of us to call time out, to make that a practice, to spend quality and quantities of quality time together. Let me remind us of a few benefits of shared family time. One is communication. Sharing family time increases communication. It's amazing to me when you're speaking to a little toddler or trying to, and the toddler will say something, perhaps with a pacifier in his or her mouth, perhaps without, and you don't quite understand, and so you look up at mom or dad, and they're often able to interpret what the little child is saying. How is it that is the case? It's because the time that has been spent with that mother and father with their little child. One father said, "My wife understands all our two-year-olds' jabber because the two of them spend lots of time together." And that's how he was able to learn that when his little daughter said, "raboos," it meant rabbits. And that only came about because of the time spent together. Communication is a benefit of shared family time. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding." And the only way to do that is by spending that time together. The second reason, or second benefit of shared family time is that companionship. Companionship. Spending time together is an antidote to isolation, loneliness, and alienation, which so many people experience today. So we need to make that time for the family so that companionship can be increased. I read about a 43-year-old father who was battling with the hepatitis bug and was confined at home for several months as a result. He said for a few days, perhaps even a few weeks, his colleagues at work would call and check on him, but they got busy and they stopped calling. But he took note that there was a few close friends who kept checking on him. And of course his family was there all the while, and he realized those people that really are truly important to him. And he wrote, spending time with these folks isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. They saved me from being lost and alone. How we need that companionship, especially within the family. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. A third benefit is connections. Connections. You see, time spent together as a family, even extended family, helps provide a sense of identity to family members. How many of us can think currently or even in our past of times when our extended families got together? I remember those very, very well. Getting together with cousins, it may be once a year. But how we would spend that time together and enjoy those meals and watch football games together through the holidays. But it gives you a sense of identity, that you have a place, that you have a people. One woman said, I remember visiting my Ohio grandmother, aunts, and uncles and cousins each summer. Without fail, the adults would comment on how much my sister and I had grown and would add, they sure have the Johnson eyes and hair. And so when they would look in the mirror and they'd see that dark hair and those dark eyes, they would be reminded of how, yes, they did look like the Johnson family. And it helped give them a sense of identity. Time together helps build these connections. It helps nurture these relationships. The scripture encourages, let brotherly love continue. Speaking of relationships within the body of Christ, but using the family relationship as a means of instruction. Let your love continue to grow as brothers, as family. And what a wonderful opportunity for our families to spend this time together to build those connections. Parents and their children. Siblings, grandparents, grandchildren, and more. As I mentioned last Sunday, beginning on Mother's Day and Lord willing through Father's Day, I want to highlight and underscore some principles from God's Word that will help our families to grow stronger. Did not have a name, a theme in mind, but here's my theme. It's homework. It's homework. And I know for many of our students that are about to finish up their school year, perhaps already have, some are graduating, homework has negative connotations. School is almost out, but there is homework yet to be done. But work at home is what I'm underscoring. We mentioned honor last week, how we need to honor one another within the relationships in our family. And of course, today, the emphasis is on spending time together, calling a time out, making that time for our families. So homework for this week is set aside some time this week for your family. I want to suggest some more things. One of the things my family enjoys doing is watching a movie together. But you know what? There's not much interaction when you're watching a movie together. I want to suggest turn the television off. Whoa, that's radical. I want to suggest doing something that will increase the interaction among your family members. If it's just two of you, if it's just you and some close friends, whatever it is, make that time a time of interaction. Remove as many distractions as possible to really build those relationships. You know, when Patrice and I started dating, in fact, our first date, we went to see a movie. And since then, I've learned that's not when you really get to know a person. Again, same concept, watching a movie together. But perhaps she got to know me better when we went out to eat afterwards. It was in Montgomery. I took her to Po' Folks. I want her to get the message. Po' Folks. If you're going to stick with me, you might as well enjoy being around Po' Folks. But you see, it's that time together without those distractions. That's when the relationships are really built. I want us to take this seriously and to be determined that we are going to set aside some time. Why am I belaboring this point? Because I can see in our families how this is lacking. I see it within my own family. We get so wrapped up in daily activities. We get wrapped up in work. We get wrapped up in schoolwork. And we get wrapped up in this and that, that we're letting our time slip by. One of the realities of modern life is that there are going to be many things compete for our attention and our time. And I've also learned that we've got to make time to make memories. It won't happen accidentally. These times must be created. One family discovered this valuable truth. We discovered fairly soon in our parenting years that family times don't just happen. They have to be planned. If we don't watch out, we end up scattered all over town. I suspect that many of you can relate to that statement. So do your homework. Let's do our work at home. Let's set aside some quality time this week just for our families. Here are some ways to complete our homework. Eat together. We do that well at Creekwood. When we meet, we eat. Well, eat together at home. That has become a rare thing in many households. But share that time together. It can often be around the dinner table, a time of great fellowship and discovery about the relationships within the family, what's going on in everyone's lives. I find it extremely interesting and compelling. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, in Jesus' message to the church at Laodicea, and you remember, he says, I have one thing against you. You are lukewarm, and in that condition, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It's repulsive, Jesus, being lukewarm. In that same context, he says to these Christians, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. He's inviting those lukewarm Christians, come dine with me, if you will. He's inviting them to that close, intimate relationship that can be shared by families when we'll make that time to eat together. Work together. Work together. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. And as a family, we can work together. One family member stated, we spend as much time working together as playing. There are always dishes to wash, laundry to fold, grass to mow, leaves to rake. Do I have an amen? But that isn't bad by any means, this person says. We've had some of our best, closest times working together. The key thing is together. Strong families have learned to turn the time necessary for running a household into opportunities to get together and communicate. Work together, play together, play together. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And when I envision Jesus inviting the children to come to him, he's laughing and even playing with them as I picture him. And I believe God wants us to have fun together within our families and our close relationships. I like what one writer says, there's at least two places to have wonderful recreational times together. Outside and inside. Folks, we may have to be cognizant of mother's wishes when we play on the inside. But let's take that time to enjoy our time together. Next, worship together. Participate in church activities together. Jesus had this modeled before him as he grew up as a child in the home of Joseph and Mary. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. He had modeled before him a dedicated Jewish family. And here's one example of that. And what a wonderful thing it is for our families to worship together. And we have an opportunity after we worship together and after we go to classes, we can discuss what was said. We can discuss what the children studied in Bible class. But may I encourage us what not to do? And that is, don't spend time discussing church problems or dissecting church members, especially the preacher. No, that was thrown in there. But I think you understand. If all our children hear are what's wrong at church, that flavors their outlook. It can affect their relationship not only with the church, but with the Lord Himself. Let's make our time together in worship one that glorifies God and one that builds each other up. Worship together. Spend special events together. Luke 15, the wonderful parable of the prodigal son. When he returned home, you notice what the father said. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They celebrated this son's homecoming. And there are times in the lives of our families when we need to celebrate special events. It may be birthdays. It may be letting that birthday member have they may plan the menu for the meals that day. There may be cake. There may be special observances that revolve around making birthdays into big events. Celebrate those. But it may be other things in the lives of our family members. It may be that one of our family members is involved in some activity. And what a wonderful show of support and what a wonderful way to spend time together than for the whole family to go. If a child is involved in a band concert, the whole family is there to help support it, whether they like the band or not. But I believe that a child will remember. You know, it seems like everything I was involved in, my family was there. Serve together. Serve together. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Serve together. Make it a family thing this coming Saturday, Lord willing, to go out and serve together at Gulf Coast Bible Camp. Pick out a widow of this congregation. As a family, go and visit that widow and practice pure and undefiled religion, James 1:27. But serve together as a family. I'll never forget just a few years ago in the fellowship room, speaking with a man from Elkhart, Indiana. Couldn't tell you where that is in Indiana. But I'd like to see this man again, who came to me and we were talking about how they'd made this journey down to help with victims of Hurricane Katrina. He said, I've got my daughter with me. She's about to get married. And we took this trip together. His tears have gotten into mine. But he took that time to serve together and spend that valuable time. But finally, do nothing in particular together. Nothing in particular. Just be together. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, or redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Recognize the value and benefit of being with members of your family and not doing anything in particular together. You know, most of us spend time and money several times a year selecting just the right gift for a family member. Maybe it's for a birthday, an anniversary, or a holiday. But the very best gift of all that you and I can give won't deplete our banking account. We don't even have to wrap it up. Give your family your most valuable possession. And what is that? It's you. If you believe that your life is the most valuable possession that you have, then a piece of your life is the most precious gift you can offer. And we give that precious gift in the chunks of our time that we give to our loved ones. Give the best gift. Give yourself. Because God gave His most valuable possession for us, that we might become His children. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave His Son so that we might become His children and be in His family. That's love. That's love demonstrated. May we go and model our love for our family like God loves us. How have you responded to the love that God has for you and for me? Have you become His child? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you been baptized into Christ as a penitent believer so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can be added to God's family? You can be His child. If you've not done that, we hope and pray that you'll do so even this morning. If you need to recommit your life to God's family and to God Himself, we hope and pray that you'll do so this morning. Let's make the most of this time that we have together by being the kind of children that God wants us to be. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?